Hey guys, welcome to Digital Soup, a hilariously geeky podcast bringing you the best geeky conversations each and every week. Jason, let's get to it.
All right, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast to always feel sad for seedless watermelons. You know, because what if they wanted babies?
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, why are we sterilizing our watermelons? They want to have families.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Think of the watermelons.
Yeah. Is that like a Post Malone?
I don't know. I just remember seeing somebody on a vine.
On a vine?
Remember those?
Watermelon vine?
Watermelon. Yeah.
Whoa, yeah. James Hetfield. Anyways, my name's Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. What's up, geeks?
What's up, fellow geek?
Not much, man. Just living the life, you know, working, playing.
Yep.
With himself.
That's about it.
Every day.
What?
I said every day.
Air for the day?
Yeah. Error day.
Oh, I don't speak French. I'm sorry.
Why not?
I don't, because, you know, one not?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's do some show.
Well, what kind of show are we going to do tonight? Are we going to do like a very serious political show? Maybe we're going to cover some religious topics?
Maybe some controversial topics?
So what are we going to talk about here, gentlemen?
Well, I think we should talk about Stadia.
Stadia? Stadium games for the NES? That's like a rare game, dude.
It is very rare. You don't even need a console. It's so rare.
Say what now?
Well, no, you kind of do need a console for stadium games on the NES.
No.
It is April Fool's. Maybe he's pulling one.
I'm dead serious.
I wish you were dead.
Oh. Serious?
Serious.
The Google streaming service for games, Stadia, where you don't actually need a console and you get a dope controller. Whoa.
Whoa, yeah. Is it like marijuana?
Whoa, no, not at all, bro. It is, however, launching a streaming service just for video games that will work on any television with Chromecast, computers running
French
a Chrome
again.
Browser, and Google Pixel devices.
We need to fact check that right now.
Fact check this.
Because if your TV does not have an HDMI input, you will not be able to use the Chromecast on it.
It says any TV with Chromecast.
I understand, but it doesn't have a coaxial interface.
Oh, so therefore it doesn't have Chromecast.
Exactly.
And the and part of that conditional clause would not be met.
Yes, I think we probably have a suit against Google here. They're straight up lying to us. Any what? TV? Really, guys?
Any TV that has Chromecast.
My great-great-grandfather had one of those Zenith console TVs. Do you think I could hook a Chromecast up to that?
No, I don't, unless you converted it.
Therefore, that TV would not have Chromecast.
Right.
No, but see, if we go back a little bit, Adam did not say any TV with a Chromecast. He said on any TV was his exact words.
With Chromecast was the follow-up word.
Yeah.
For the record, everybody go back and listen. Jason will edit it out to make himself right.
I will make myself sound awesome. Yeah.
He'll slow me down like two times. Video games that work on TV.
So, Adam, you've been drinking?
Y'all
that's what I'm
going to
say soldering?
When I slow you down. Anyway, this is a Netflix-like product. It's called Stadia. That's the proper plural of stadium. This is according to CNN Business. And it's expected to launch later this year with big name titles, including Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and special YouTube features. Even without a console, it could help Google take on game industry leaders Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. But do we think that's what actually going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, it's the streaming services have come a long ways. PlayStation has had theirs for a while. I think Xbox has one also. And then what do we have that... Oh, no, that's not a streaming service. That Utomic we talked about on the PC, but that you actually download the games, don't you?
Right,
you don't
I think them. So, yep.
So you've got to have a good connection here. to do this, right? Stadia is going to stream games in at 4K at 60 frames per second in HDR with surround sound, but you got to have a 25 meg internet connection. Sorry, usually, Dave.
Yeah, I'm out of that running.
You got dial up over there, buddy.
But like you said, you don't need to download a game, and you don't have to have any kind of special hardware other than just the Chromecast.
Yeah,
to play so on your old Zenith.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is probably, remember that service I said I used a long time ago? I can't even remember what it was. Oh, OnLive, where it streamed all of the games to your PC. So, like, you could have, like, integrated graphics, but you still, the games are running on high-end hardware, so they're, like, maxed out at, you know, at that point it was 1080p.
Yep. And you're just streaming the video.
And that's what this is. I mean, and so... Technically, like Dave didn't say, but Adam did because I know their voices, that all you need is a $35 Chromecast. You don't have to spend $500 on a console, and then you just hook this up to your TV, and you're streaming games.
But you got to have a controller.
Well, yeah, you probably have to purchase, what's that, probably $40-$50, I bet. Because you said it was a specialized controller. You can't just grab an Xbox One controller or anything.
If I'm not mistaken... Controller. Yeah, I think they have a special Stadia controller, but if I'm not mistaken, when I was watching this, presentation, the live stream?
Video.
Yeah. No, I was watching the live stream happen, actually, that day.
We should have commented on it, like our very first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would have been super exciting, like that very first episode. But no, I think you can actually use like an Xbox controller. It's just that there are some features that this controller gives you as far as some extra buttons for menus and things like that. So,
but where do you plug in the controller into that Chromecast?
Wi-Fi or wireless?
Yeah, I know. I'm Bluetooth.
What I meant. Bluetooth.
I was just teasing.
I did not know.
Now, the coolest thing I think, though, and the reason this is kind of neat, and I hope that in some fashion, I don't think it'll replace our consoles, but the thing that I like is that with game streamers so much nowadays, they're adding some features into this whole Stadia project where, let's say you're watching a stream of a game or whatever, and that streamer can allow you to basically hit a button, jump into a queue, and then play head-to-head against them live right on their stream. Which, that's kind of a cool feature. It also is going to have, if I remember right from when I watched this, it was going to have the ability for live streaming and stuff like that. Because of Google, it's going to be integrated really well into YouTube, and so they're going to do a lot of different stuff there. They're hoping to really push YouTube forward, and in my thought process, I guess they're looking to be a bigger competitor to things like Twitch and Mixer and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably. I mean, with that kind of integration capability. Oh, you know, if you've got three, if you're a college age guy and you've got three or girl and you have three roommates or something, and you all try to play at the same time. I wonder what that does to your bandwidth. It's got to be brutal.
Yeah, well, probably.
I've never lived in a dorm or anything, but isn't dorm Wi-Fi internet connection, isn't it usually kind of spotty at best anyways?
Well, dorms, yeah, but I mean, if you have an apartment or something like that, dorms are usually hardwired, at least where I went.
Yeah, but that was like in the, 90s. Now, everything is Wi-Fi.
Your Wi-Fi.
I know.
Your Wi-Fi.
Now, here's the funny thing. The first time I went to college, not even a joke here, it was all dial-up, 28.8. Actually, it was 14.4, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I was the master. Year. I was the master of the bulletin boards, man. I played so many MUDs, man. I did everything.
Was it hard?
Yes.
Was it hard to use a computer and operate the internet when you had to keep cranking that phone nonstop?
I know. It sucks, man.
Yeah.
I bet it did. I mean, the days of dial-up, I mean, the kids nowadays, they don't understand the troubles we went through. I mean, you tied up a line, nobody could call you, you couldn't make calls. If you forgot to disable call waiting, as soon as somebody did call, it would drop your connection, and you're in EverQuest running across, through a very dangerous area, and then you're disconnected, you log back in, you're dead, your corpse is a continent away, and you're like...
Very specific scenario.
Yes, because it happened to me many a time. Many a time.
Like a, you know what these kids don't get?
They don't understand the troubles.
Back in my day, I had to have a special cradle for my handset to go in for the modulator-demodulator device.
Yeah. That's another thing. Everything's digital now, but we still call them modems. We're not modulating or demodulating. She's neat.
Well, and we aren't we, though?
Like it's a pure digital signal. No.
You're pure digital signal.
Thank you. I've been aiming for that my whole life. I have no idea.
I am finally Neo from the Matrix.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, did you realize that the Matrix is celebrating its 20-year anniversary?
Yes.
I believe today or yesterday or something.
I watched it last week.
Yeah?
Did you?
Yep.
Does it hold up?
I saw our friend Chris Farrell posted on Twitter that he watched it and it still held up. I agree with him.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that.
I mean, the first one that the Wachowski brothers stole from that woman, it was awesome.
Fake news.
The next two, horrible. You know, just completely horrible. Because they wrote them. But, I mean, that first one was awesome.
What was the plot in the second and third ones?
Some type of party orgy in the second one.
Yep.
And then the third one had something to do with... they finally took down the machines.
Yeah, I'm rewatching all of them. I fell asleep during the underground Zion stuff.
Wasn't that awesome? That rave music going on?
No, it was not.
I know, it was so stupid.
I do need to rewatch at least the first one, but yeah, it's been a long time.
That was such a groundbreaking sci-fi movie that you never expected what happened, you know, when he wakes up in there. That's just awesome.
Hey, now I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you because I've been doing some research on these movies. And did you know that we got so close to having as a starring role of Neo instead of John Wick? Well, I can't remember his name.
Keanu Reeves.
We almost had, are you ready for this? Ellen DeGeneres. She was almost Neo.
What? No.
That would have been awesome. No, but I did read someplace that it was going to be a female.
I guess
female.
I'm the one?
Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Almost was Neo. I believe it was a woman. It's Sandra Bullock.
Really?
Yep. You just type almost Neo, and you're going to get all the stories. Sandra Bullock was almost Neo.
Almost Neo. I just typed it in. The Matrix almost cast Sandra Bullock.
It's almost weird that the two speed, you know, stars... were the ones that were battling for that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. 55 miles an hour.
What do you do?
Now, I wonder what type of movie that would have been if it would have been Sandra Bullock. Would it have been like Miss Congeniality, but in the future?
No, I'll tell you.
The blue pill.
I'll tell you what, though.
She probably would have been good. She's a good actress.
Yeah, she's a good actress, and I think she does a really nice job with the action kind of stuff. Now, whether she would be good in the full-on fight scene kind of action, I'm not sure. She's more of like a cop in big chases and car crash kind of action.
It's just, you know, kind of like, you know, wearing blindfolds through a whole movie, that type of thing she's good at.
Yeah. She's more of a
Bird Box. Weird twist, Keanu Reeves was the one that was supposed to be cast in Bird Box, so.
Are you lying? April Fools?
That would have been awesome.
You'll have
no,
to
but when
Google
I heard that story,
out.
I thought that would have been hilarious to see her as Neo. But they probably, what did they still call her, Neo or Niette? What were they said? What was she called?
Niette.
Niette? No.
Yeah, she's now
the
she's
female
Russian.
Female version of everything, you just add et to it. Come on, you know this.
But
that's
not Neo.
Neoette.
Oh, Neoette, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been Niette.
That's no in German. I mean, in Russian. Yeah.
So what other, do you guys know what other big movie that I know, Jason, you watched this. We used to watch it a little bit when friends would be over. Came out about the same, actually the same weekend as The Matrix.
Oh, my goodness. Give me a hint and I'll guess it.
Heath Ledger?
Batman.
No. Julia Stiles?
Yes, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yep, that's the 20 one.
20 years old. I did see that, too.
That's a rom-com, but it actually was a pretty fun
flick. Best rom-com ever, though. This is Jason from the Digital Soup Podcast letting you know again. When in Rome, absolute best rom-com ever.
I thought you said Bridges of Madison County was your favorite.
You know, I will kill you in your sleep.
No, you won't.
Oh, I will.
Because I'm already dead inside. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, your wife is a secret assassin programmed by me, and with the trigger word, you're dead.
So she's like a discount Manchurian candidate.
Yep.
I'll tell you what.
A sleeper cell in your own house, Adam.
1999 was a pretty darn good year for films.
All right, throw them out there.
Not as good as 84.
All right, so number 10. These are the top 10 highest grossing films of 1999. Number 10, Austin Powers, A Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yep, definitely. I love that movie.
Number 9, American Beauty.
Decent. Yeah. I did like that.
Never saw it.
Okay.
Oh, definitely see it. It's not about a beauty pageant. It's really messed up.
I thought it was like an artsy, like there's a bag floating around and all that crap.
That's an ending scene, but... And it kind of flows through
there.
You
gotta check it out.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool flick. I haven't seen it in a while. So number 8, The World Is Not Enough. Wasn't that a Bond flick?
Yep, that's Bond. Yep.
Okay. Number 7, Notting Hill.
Never seen it.
Isn't that Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant?
Hugh Grant.
Hey everybody, I'm Hugh Grant. I'm having a bloody good time.
Number 6, The Mummy.
Hey, everybody, I'm the mummy. Where's my daddy?
Oh, jeez. That first mummy was fun.
Before you go on to number 5 here, you know, that the new mummy with Tom Cruise, I did not mind that, but man, that's got panned.
I didn't see it, but it was bad enough where it killed their whole plans for the new Monsterverse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is a bummer because that was the plan.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, that was supposed to kick off a whole new series of these, you know, the classic monsters.
Yeah, like Dracula, really? Yep. The Mummy and
werewolves.
Frankenstein.
So it wasn't like a remake of this one?
No, not really, I don't think.
It's like a retelling.
Yeah, it was supposed to kick off. Was it Warner Brothers that did that?
Why did it get such bad?
Universal?
It got such bad.
I really don't know. I mean, it wasn't a fantastic movie. I would, if we're doing a digital soup, super review of it, I would give it a 3 out of 5. It was an average movie.
There's a shocker.
Shut it.
It's no Tusk.
That was a 7 out of 5 by Dave.
No.
All right, but go on.
All right, number 5, Disney animated film. Any guesses?
Aladdin.
There's 2 of them in the top 5.
Oh, Toy Story 2.
Nope.
That's
number
Pixar,
5 is Tarzan.
Oh.
Which,
all right, Jason, let's hear your Tarzan yell.
Hey, everybody, I'm Tarzan.
You know what I was doing.
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay. I'm not a good singer, but
number 4, moving on, Bueller.
Fast Times at Ridgemont.
No, number 4 is The Matrix.
Come on, Dave. Dave doesn't even think about it. He's like, Adam gets it right away. And Dave's like,
but Bueller wasn't Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
That's a joke. April Fool's.
That's why I was, that was just a bad joke.
No.
Because
it was a perfectly crafted joke. I waited.
Why would you mix Ferris Bueller and Fast Times at Ridgemont High? They're totally different films.
Because I've always wanted to see Ferris Bueller topless.
You were hoping it. Who played Ferris Bueller again?
Crickets.
Matthew Broderick, right?
McConaughey, yes.
So, I know. All right. So Jason's saying he always wanted to see Matthew Broderick.
I just can't see myself going in school today.
All right, Mr. Hand. Oh, now I'm sounding like...
Wow.
All right, I'm going to skip what I was going to say. Park. We'll move on. Number 3, Toy Story 2.
Hey, Mr. Hat.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. What'd you say, Dave?
No, number 3 is Toy Story 2. So, Adam,
hey, I'm a Toy
right.
Story.
You see, there
was that Electric Boogaloo.
That was a good movie. Toy Story.
Yeah, Toy Story 2 is good. You see, they've got the 4th one.
Yeah,
announced.
I haven't watched a trailer yet, but I'll definitely see it with the kids.
Yeah, number 2, The Sixth Sense.
Oh yeah, he was dead the whole time.
That was a good
spoiler.
Good flick. Any guesses what number 1 was?
Star Wars.
Yeah, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Oh.
Didn't break. It did not break 1 billion worldwide.
You're still thinking, you're the people gonna die?
But there was some other pretty big names that year that were not like box office smash hits, but critically acclaimed.
Hit us with that knowledge.
Things like Varsity Blues. I don't want your life. Yeah, go ahead.
I distinctly remember, so when Star Wars Episode 1 came out in 99, we hadn't seen a new Star Wars movie in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I was super excited. 82,
I think, was the last one, right? Or 84.
And of course, because of all the flashy, awesome lightsaber stuff, I was like, this movie is great. And I remember talking to Jason, and Jason was calling it like he should have. He was like, the acting was just wooden. That Qui-Gon guy was just terrible. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Flash forward to the future where I'm looking at it going, dang, Jason was right. This movie's kind of terrible.
Well,
like they packed so much stuff in.
You know,
hey,
they
I'm just giving you kudos.
They did call me the Siskel and Ebert of the Iron Range.
Huh.
Who called you that? Your mom?
Yeah.
It has to be some old people.
Jason,
because
you're the Siskel and Ebert of the Range.
Here's the thing, you know, maybe a lot of people that listen to us don't even know who Siskel and Ebert were.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you guys barely remember him.
I remember him. The other one, like I said, Varsity Blues. there was movies like Office Space.
Oh, so good.
Yes, that was the greatest movie of all time.
What about...
I was told I can listen to the radio. Between.
What do you guys remember?
She's the one who sucks.
See, you guys always go to those.
Missing it, Bob.
Oh, man.
I always go to, hey, Peter, check out Channel 9.
Rest of jam. What would I do with $1 million? I'll tell you what I'd do, man.
Dietrich Bader is one funny dude.
So, anyway.
Do you watch him on American Housewife?
Yeah, yeah. He's like the little history professor kind of.
Well, he's the husband, but yes, he is a tenured.
He's professor. So like diminutive most of the time. Like, yeah, yes,
he's,
honey,
he's hilarious.
He's pretty funny. What about the movie Cruel Intentions?
One or two?
The first one.
I didn't care for either of them.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I used to watch that first Cruel Intentions.
Well, I know.
I used to
pause on the nudie scenes.
No, I didn't do that, but I thought the film was pretty good.
I remembered you wore that VHS cassette out by pausing it for so long.
It was DVD in 99.
You stretched that tape out.
No. Jason's favorite movie here, Wing Commander.
You know, I was actually thinking about I should make that a super review and make us watch that again.
What
hey,
else?
But it did have Matthew Lillard in it.
Yeah.
Live her alone.
I love that. What about Move Forward into April? Remember the movie Idle Hands? This was kind of that era of those kind of 90s scream type
horror.
He
got a demon hand and it was like doing bad things, if I remember right. It was a college student.
Yep, yep. Huh. It was the same kid, I believe, from Final Destination, the first one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Scrubs.
No, I don't want
no Scrubs.
Yeah.
We had The Mummy, like I mentioned, Star Wars, 13th Floor. That was that year.
I'm trying to remember what 13th Floor was.
Vincent D'Onofrio's in there.
You're thinking of 13 sci-fi, Ghosts.
No, sci-fi thriller. I remember it. Vaguely remember it, but I know Vincent D'Onofrio's in there. Yeah, Austin Powers. What else here? Big Daddy came out that year. Ooh,
that was kind of funny.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
Yeah.
American Pie was that year. Blair Witch.
The first one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That one, okay, now let's take a look at Blair Witch here for a second.
Uh-huh.
That was one of those movies that they did an awesome job of using the internet and using social media and stuff to really push that. When that was released, a lot of people didn't know what, is this just a movie or is this really lost footage?
Right. Yep.
They did a pretty good job of selling that.
The original found footage movie. I remember driving up and seeing that in the theater.
Yeah, I watched that a few times.
It was
times.
Creepy as heck. Yeah. because it was only creepy because you're watching it thinking, oh my God, somebody really filmed this.
Well, and I was working at the theater at that time.
Well, yeah, so you knew. You'd seen it like 30 times.
Well, yeah, I was just an usher then. I did see it a bunch, but I remember...
Oh, like, really? Did women throw their bras up on you on stage?
What?
He said he was usher.
Wow.
No. I was an usher at that time. That was pre when I was in management.
Oh,
there,
he was pre usher. So, usher as a teen?
No. But there was the buzz. There was so much buzz. Everybody that came in to watch it was 100% positive this thing was real. And they'd walk out of there and you'd see them. They'd all come out of that film, just blood drained from their face. Like, holy crap.
Well, I do remember walking out of the theater myself. It was me and my brother, and I can't remember who else went. Did you go, Adam?
Not with you guys. Okay. No.
And we all, you know, we were talking about things. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. You know, cause we were legitimately some of those people that thought the thing was real.
Right.
At one point. And you know, when you think it's real, it's a completely different movie. When you know it's just a movie, it's like, oh, this is...
thinking it's real, you're on the edge of your seat. And that's kind of going back to their viral campaign of, guys, this is real lost footage.
Right. Yeah, they did a nice job with that. Yeah, and that was
everybody that followed up was like garbage.
Right. And that was a big July summer blockbuster the weekend after American Pie. So they took a swing at it and went big. So that was pretty cool. Let's see, Mystery Men. That was a fun one.
Yeah, that was. You remember that? Funny.
That was with Janine Garofalo, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Jason, another favorite of yours, Universal Soldier: The Return.
Was that Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah, that was there. What else was in here? Getting into the fall, there wasn't any. I mean, there's some movies that were pretty good. Double Jeopardy, I remember, with Ashley Judd. She had a bunch of those, like. Kind of thriller mystery, you know, murder mystery kind of things. Who else we have into October? Fight Club was that year.
Oh yeah. That's Let's not talk one. About it though. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it is the rule. House on Haunted Hill. Now, did they remake that? No, there's a Netflix one called the something Hill House or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Haunting House on the Hill. Haunting
of Hill House.
Yeah. Weird that they basically just rearranged it. I wonder if it's tied to that at all. Mm-hmm. That movie starred Famke Janssen. Do you remember her?
Oh, yeah. She's from X-Men. She's, what's her
she
name?
She was.
Probably one Jean of the Grey. Best looking actresses I've
Jean
Grey, ever seen.
Yeah.
Really?
Famke Janssen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's stunning.
Okay. Better best than Sophie too. Turner as Jean Grey?
Yep.
Yeah. Is that movie still coming out, right? The Phoenix, Dark Phoenix?
Yep.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Let's see. Toy Story was November. So that's there. We're almost to the end of the year. Green Mile was that year. Oh, Deuce Bigelow.
Male Gigolo.
Yep. Any Given Sunday and Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest wasn't bad.
That's a cult classic.
I thought that was very good.
Yeah. The year ended with The Hurricane starring Denzel and Talented Mr. Ripley with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
99 was a good year for films. I mean, I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking there's a lot that I used to love watching and really should go back and enjoy. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar, I think she had 4 movies out that year.
Probably same Scooby-Doo thing. Was one of them.
Nope, no Scooby-Doo that year. But no. Nicolas Cage had 1 or 2. Ashley Judd had a couple that year. I almost said, what's her name? Angelina Jolie. It wasn't her.
Angelina.
So yeah, there was some good flicks that year and a few stinkers, of course, as there always is, but.
Yeah. Now, there is no hard and fast release date, but they are looking at 2019 and they're looking at probably about $20 a month, you know, for the service. So it's going to match kind of what the PS4 is doing with their streaming service.
Whoa.
Seems right in line.
Yeah.
We have come full circle.
I was totally lost. We totally.
Okay. I was right there with you, Jason.
We jumped back to Google Stadia after that movie detour.
Finish up our story here. So they're going to have another announcement in June where they're going to nail down more on the price and the release date. But currently right now, we just know it is going to be sometime in 2019. So, hey, maybe, you know, for $35, I'll buy. Well, I actually have a Chromecast built into my TV. So I wonder if I'd even have to buy a Chromecast. It'll just work with the built-in, and then I'll just spend $20 and try it out for a month.
Well, yeah. So if you have Chromecast built-in, though, how is it? How are you hooking up a controller?
Yeah, I don't know.
Smash it into the side of the TV and hope it connects.
But does Chrome, you know, and that's the thing. I didn't know Chrome, Chromecast had built-in Bluetooth.
Ah, me neither. So apparently.
I don't know. But so, yeah, we'll have to give her a try.
That's not big news. The Sega Genesis Mini might come out this September.
That's bigger news than, you know, because it's mini.
40 legendary games ready to plug and play. Well, that's good.
What are the games?
There's a list of some of them, not all of them. It's sort of like what PlayStation did. Well, here's a teaser. Here's five of them, and we'll let you know later what the rest of them are.
Oh.
But
Echo the Dolphin, Castlevania Bloodlines, Space Harrier 2, Shining Force, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Toe Jam and Earl, Comic Zone, Sonic the Hedgehog, Altered Beast, and Gunstar Heroes.
What was Comic Zone?
It was a fighter, and it was drawn like a comic book, and it had like the comic cell, you know, like boxes, you know, to tell the story or to
boom. Oh, okay.
Kind of like that. I never played it, but I did see the reviews and stuff of it many times. Now that Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine is a puzzler. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It's a puzzler.
You're such a dork. But yeah, so I mean, for the first 10 that they did announce, they're actually quality titles. Each and every one of those, you know, is decently, you know, big hits, especially the Gunstar Heroes. I don't know if you guys ever played that. Well, you guys never had Genesis systems before, right?
No.
Would that be Genesi?
Yeah, that's multiple Genesises. But here's the best.
I'm not into Phil Collins.
All right, you know. Remember that one time when that guy could have saved that guy drowning, but he didn't?
I can feel it coming in the night.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But one of the best things here is originally at Games, the crap company that was making all of the throwback, you know, Sega consoles. They were called the flashback consoles, mm-hmm. With the horrible, you know, sound chip, you know, the replicated sound chip they put in there. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Sega did commission them to make the Sega Mini, the Sega Genesis Mini. I guess there was just so much feedback that was coming via Twitter, you know, their official Facebook pages, etc., saying, do not do this. They make horrible hardware, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. We will only buy this if it's an official first party, you make it yourself. Well, Sega did relent, and they are actually making this puppy themselves.
Hmm.
So everything should, you know, in theory, everything, since they have all the patents and, you know, everything for, like, the sound chip, the graphics chip, et cetera, it should be perfect.
You know what's sad?
What?
I think, I look at this and I go, just 40 games?
Yeah,
and as a kid, I had, like, 5 Nintendo games total.
Yeah.
You know?
That is the thing. And as a kid, when you bought that one game, you might get one game every few months, right? You'd finally talk your parents into buying it.
We were rich.
Yeah.
$40 to $50 a piece.
Yeah, we got one a year.
Yeah, okay. That's about right.
Did you not play that game to completion many, many times because you literally had games?
Out of boredom, I would play it.
Yeah.
And so here I am looking at this like 40 games. And then I think, you know, if I had 40 games stacked up as a library as a kid, mm-hmm. I'd have been on cloud 9.
Yeah, you would have been like the rich kid in town. Everybody would be like, hey, let's go over to Adams. He's got 40 games. Yep.
But you would never want to invite Jason because he'd walk away with the games in his socks or something.
In my underwear.
But only if I was a jerk to him and his brother.
Yeah.
Right.
Now Adam, he just looks over at his TV, he takes a look at that Retro Pie with thousands of games on it, and he's like, I still got nothing to play.
No, I don't have that. You must be smoking something. Anyway.
This is a drug-free podcast.
So you're saying, though, AT games, they don't have any kind of invisible touch into the system? This Genesis?
Invisible touch?
That's kind of a... This whole Genesis thing is a little bit of a land of confusion.
Touch. It's gonna touch.
Hey, why don't you go ask your mama, okay?
Well, tonight.
I don't know any more Genesis songs. I'm sorry. I don't go too deep with Phil Collins.
You know what stinks? You know what really bums me out, though, is that I can't dance.
Oh, you can't? That's sad.
Well, sometimes you just get in too deep. That's all.
Now I'm typing so I can find other.
Yeah, I would have done that, but you know.
No, that's all.
Oh, is that a title?
I didn't even realize Invisible Touch was a song. I'm an idiot.
Oh, you didn't?
You didn't?
Nope.
She seems to that have is like, the Invisible Touch.
That's one of the only
now
ones
I know
I do know.
I just didn't know the...
Pardon my bad singing there.
Yeah, then Dave sings it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's like angels.
Oh, no. Yeah, not quite.
A little bit. So,
anyway,
I don't know. I will I get this? No, I won't because I do have my RetroPie system. But for those, you know, collectors out there that don't go the RetroPie route and they just want some of the best titles on these different consoles, you know, the NES Mini, the Super NES Mini, and now the Sega Genesis Mini, perfect. PlayStation Mini, just, you know, forget about that.
All right, so we almost have to do this because we did it with the NES Mini, the SNES Mini, and PlayStation Mini. What else that's not on that list? I know they gave us, what, five?
Ten.
No, did they give us 10 games?
Yes, they did. They've announced 10. He read you those 10.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, I guess it is 10. I thought it was only 5. So anyways, we've got 10. We've got 30 more. What else makes the cut?
Well, of course, we can't predict that. But, I mean, some of my favorites, one of the games that I absolutely fell in love with and I played it ad nauseum was Herzog Zwei. This was one of the very first real-time strategy games on a console, and it was just amazing. I loved it. There was no, you didn't have to get, harvest materials or whatever like that, like you did in some of the other ones, but you did create soldiers and tanks and stuff, and you could take over mini bases, and when you took over these mini bases, you would get more money to buy more, you know, units, and then you just, what you had to do is just take over the other base, destroy the other base. And it was so much fun.
Right.
And then on the role-playing front, oh, there's so many games. You know they're going to put Phantasy Star on here. That was Sega's big game in the 8 and 16-bit era was the Phantasy Star series. And an RPG that I absolutely loved, and I think I told you guys to try this out sometime, Sword of Vermilion. I loved that RPG.
I remember that one.
That was an awesome RPG.
All right,
and,
so here,
there's tons of other games. Get some of the sports games. Sega Genesis had the very first talking sports games.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Talk Football, Sports Talk Baseball.
Were those those were different than the Joe Montana football series, right?
Yeah. No, it was the same. It was Joe Montana Sports Talk Football.
Okay. Yep. I remember playing those.
And then the baseball one was just a licensed baseball game. It didn't have any
They had RBI Baseball.
Yeah.
Early on. I mean, that might have come to Nintendo as well eventually, but here's a couple for you, though. What about Shinobi?
Oh, yeah.
Strider.
You got to have Shinobi. Shinobi and Strider were both awesome.
Streets of Rage, obviously.
Yeah, you know, and they're going to have one or two of those. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to. There's no way they're not.
Road Rash? Think that makes the cut?
I kind of liked Road Rash, but I wasn't huge into it. Okay. I don't know why.
I remember Road Rash. That was fun.
It was a little bit fun. But
you know what Mark Hamill likes to play?
Probably Star Wars games, you know what I'm saying?
Long as it's not the original trilogy, right?
Yeah.
Or the prequels.
He likes to play Chucky.
Yeah, this is crazy, right?
Yeah. Mark Hamill announced on Twitter through a cool video. He's like, you're about to find out who's playing Chucky. You're looking at him. Or something along that line. It's pretty cool.
I can't wait to hear him go, "Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?"
Now, why does the Chucky doll still have that outdated haircut?
Because he's a good guy doll, dude. All good guy dolls look like that.
What?
That's what it's named, is good guy doll.
Oh, okay.
That's the marketing on the box. Do you not remember the first Chucky? The first Child's Play, I should say. This new one's Chucky, but the new Child's Play. Oh, the new one's Child's Play, too. Mm-hmm. Child's Play also, not two.
Leprechaun 3? What?
those need remakes.
So I wasn't a huge Child's Play fan, but what do you guys think of this choice?
I think it's good.
You can't go wrong with Mark Hamill in voice
he
acting.
He did a great job as the Joker.
He liked one of our tweets, even.
Yeah. He did.
Well, let's like one of his now.
I have.
I did.
Little tit for tat.
Well, I think it's good news that they brought him on. And they've got Aubrey Plaza. I'm just going. I'm not going to stop. No, Aubrey Plaza is going to play the kid's mom, but it's going to be weird because if you've watched the trailers, like, the, you know, in the original, it was a little kid that was the doll's friend, you know. In this one, the kid's older. He's wielding like a chainsaw or something and, you know, swearing at the doll and all stuff. So I don't know how that's going to play, but it might be worth a watch just to enjoy some Mark Hamill voice acting.
Yep.
He'll probably do good with the dialogue. I mean, yeah. I bet you he'll make him sound really sinister.
Yeah, most definitely. Likely.
Well, he played Joker.
In the first Child's Play, and it same thing happened with Nightmare on Elm Street. The very first few Nightmare on Elm Streets were actually legitimately scary. Mm-hmm. And then they just started to get kind of campy when Freddy Krueger got very popular. Same thing happened with Child's Play. I mean, Chucky was actually kind of terrifying in the first mm-hmm. Child's Play. But then it just got Bride of Chucky. Chucky buys donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. That was a great one. That was, I think, the eighth movie in the series.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean,
does his taxes.
Well, am I mistaken, or are they also, because this movie does not have the original writer and creators involved. This is
They died.
No, not all of them.
They died in that one Hurricane Katrina.
What?
You didn't hear about that?
No, I think you're making stuff up.
Well, they went down into the surf, and they're just idiots, and they died.
Huh. Well, the reason I bring this up, which is why I don't think you're
Adam
right.
Adam told me that.
What? Yeah, I did.
You're making stuff up is because I'm pretty sure they are working on a TV series for Child's Play and Chucky as well, which will be completely separate from the movies, but the TV series, if I remember right, is supposed to have a bunch of the original creators and writers. Mm. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out.
So we're basically going to run the Chucky franchise into the ground.
Well, like it wasn't there already. little bit of TV news that I don't know, Jason, if you saw, Adam, you probably won't care because I know you didn't really watch the shows much. But
you could say that about everything, Adam. You probably don't care.
But no, some more Arrow news. I know.
She quit. Yeah, who is she again?
Emily Bette Rickards. She played Felicity.
I only watched the first episode, so I didn't know who that was.
Yeah,
but it's the blonde that was in love with him, right?
It's Oliver Queen's love interest, one of the main characters, and they've already got this shortened season going into their final season here. And she just, I think it was yesterday as we record this, announced that she is done. She's leaving the series before the season starts even. So people dropping like flies on Arrow, and it's kind of curious to see how they're going to play all that out, but just a little bit of a extra news bit.
Sounds a lot like the AAF. We don't know if they're going to have, if they're going to play next weekend or not.
Right. Well, let's diverge a little bit from geek because I've been hearing a lot about this. We'll go into this AAF football thing real quick. This whole thing, yes, they might fold, but the big problem is that apparently when this league started, they were kind of handshake deal, you know, given the idea that the NFL would supply them with players, you know, futures contract players that are on practice squad, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now the NFL is not doing that. Well, they've got some issues because of the collective bargaining agreement with players, you know, the potential for injury and all these things in there. And the NFL is not doing it. And now this guy, I don't know if he's the CEO or whatever of the AAF, he owns the Carolina Hurricanes or whatever hockey team or something like that. But he's got a lot of money into this. And he's also come out now and saying, look, if they don't help us, one of the possibilities could be that we shut this down. It seems like almost a threat or, you know, something like that, but it doesn't really have a lot of teeth behind it. If you think about it, you know,
If I read the stories correctly, the AAF was already in trouble and they, you know, they didn't have enough money to pay the players.
Well, that's where this guy stepped in.
Yeah, so he stepped in and bought the company mm-hmm. or bought a controlling portion at least of the company.
Yeah, it was like $250 billion or something crazy or a million.
And now he's like, well, the NFL's not going to play ball. I'm taking my ball and going home is basically what the article said. And it doesn't bode well for this fledgling league because, like you said, if they don't have what they originally agreed upon, I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard to find players, because yeah. if they don't have the NFL working with them, that was the whole thing with the 2-year deals that they were signing the players with, right. with that clause that if the NFL came a knock and we would release them. Well, if the NFL and the AAF are not working together, the AAF's not going to release somebody from contract to go play for the NFL, because that's their competitor. That's no longer an associate.
Right.
It's a competitor. So now the players are going to be like, well, I don't want to, you know, jeopardize my NFL contract or my potential NFL contract next year or the year after by signing up with the AAF. So I'm just going to sit on the sidelines for a little bit and not play for anybody.
Right.
And now the AAF can't get players, any quality players. They're just going to get like Johnny Football, you know, and stuff like that.
I love Johnny Football.
I know you do.
It'll be interesting to see, because if you look at the guy's statements, he really did not say they're shutting it down. It was one, he said it is a possibility, but the media has taken that and run, and it's made these big sensational headlines. I honestly could be very wrong on this, but I don't think we'll see them close up shop, you know, this week or before the end of this season. Maybe after the season, you know, if they can't work something out, we'd have to see what happens. But I think this is it's a possibility he floated. I think it was a bit of a shot at the NFL and a way to say, hey, you guys told us you were going to do some of this stuff. You're not holding up your end of the deal. Why should we hold up our end of the deal? And, you know, we wanted to work with you. The NFL's wanted to basically make this a developmental league, but they're not willing to put their players on the line. So who are they wanting to develop? That's the problem. So it's a big mess, but all you can do is wait and see.
Yeah. Sports talk.
And yeah. I really hope that it does, you know, succeed and it can go multiple seasons. I mean, the XFL, which, you know, granted was very bad football, but I mean, if you watch that 30 on 30, you know, that was on the XFL, this was the XFL, I believe was the title. It lets you know how there was no time to practice. I believe they just finalized the rosters 30 days before the first game. So there's no way you can develop a team, get everybody, you know, going on the same page, working together. That's why the mm-hmm. football was so bad. That's why they folded. The AAF comes in and they're set up a lot better than the XFL ever was. Mm-hmm. You know, things in place. The quality of the football is there. What I've seen has been very decent, and I do like some of the rule changes and stuff as opposed to what the NFL has. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to see this league fold already. The only thing, you know, that's, you know, making it a little easier on us football fans is if they do fold, we do have the XFL next year. Maybe the second time's a charm for them. Maybe they'll learn from what the AAF did this time. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to have some good football, because, you know, when the only game in town is the NFL, it's just like anything. If there's no competition, there's no advancement. There's no strive to make your product better. And people are going to say, well, the NFL has been perfect this whole time. Well, no, it hasn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, the XFL came in, and it came in with new camera, harnesses and, you know, different things it's doing. And the NFL then took that. Look at the XFL. They came up with some of these new cool rules for, what do you want to call it? Instead of onside kicks, you know, they got what they have there. There's no kickoffs, you know, things that the NFL has actually been looking at and possibly might implement in the future. So these other leagues are actually bringing things to the forefront that the NFL had not thought of or just didn't want to do, but then they see that the fans enjoy it. They see that, you know, probably, you know, the people that pay them, you know, all the ad revenue, they're like, hey, we like this stuff. Can you put this into your product? And so that's what they're doing. So hopefully we can at least have one other league, not the Canadian Football League, not the Arena League, a real football league that can actually, you know, make the NFL, you know, not just rest on his laurels.
Right. Well, Adam, I have one thing that you should be aware of with the AAF.
Okay.
This is the perfect place to do it. They're 8 weeks in. The whole league might fold. Otherwise, we're close to the end of the season, a couple weeks left before playoffs. We pick teams at the beginning of this.
Oh, I was the best.
We pick some teams. It'd be fitting probably to give a little update as to where these teams are.
Yeah,
so.
Give us that update, Dave. Tell me where my Memphis Express is. Number one, right? Number one with the gun.
Memphis Express are currently third in their conference.
Oh, they're not last anymore?
Nope. They are seventh overall in the league.
Yeah. That's seventh out of 110 teams, right?
No, out of eight. Oh. They are 2-6. They've had two wins. Only behind them is the Atlanta Legends. Adam, you had the San Antonio Commanders, if I remember right, correct?
Yep.
They are sitting at fourth in the league, and they are sitting at second in their conference, basically tied for first with the Arizona Hotshots. And my Orlando Apollos are currently sitting on top of it all at 7-1, both conference and league. So Jason,
the fix is in.
Jason put all this time and effort into researching which team, and you and I picked based on a logo. Yep.
I did. Okay, what was my research?
I said, don't know. Like,
hey,
months.
Mike Singletary is the coach. I kind of like that. Let's do it.
Yeah, months and months.
I put all my calculations into the computer. It's going to tell me.
Well, see, an express is usually like a train, and a train, you can't stop a train, and that's what I have, you know, cool in my
express
house.
Express is usually the bargain bin discount version of something, so that's kind of what you buy.
The bargain bin train?
No, Memphis.
Oh.
There's the express, there's the Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
There's Sequel the Express.
Roku Express.
Yeah, it's usually the discount. No, I'm kidding.
Shut it.
Could all beat me up, so I'll just say they're nice.
Nice. They're so nice.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
Wiggity whack. So, Jason, you're going to have to lead this one because you refuse to update the Google Docs show notes that we all use for show notes because you've got to have your fancy one on your own.
Hold on. Let me give it to you because you are the master of this. Hold on. Put it in the show notes right now for the master Dave, who is going to be running this geek off. There you go, Dave.
All right.
Geek off.
It's where?
Top of the show
notes. Oh, you couldn't put it under the geek off. Crying out loud. All right. So what we're going to do, Jason and I were talking a little bit. We came up with another who did it better. But a little easier maybe as far as the comparison, because I think, you know, both of you guys will have heard all of these. We're going to do a music-based version. First up, who did it better? Turn the page. We have Bob Seger or Metallica.
And you go first on each of these, Adam, because I always talk.
Well, I have to plead the fifth on this one. I don't know.
You don't know?
Really?
Ignorance on Turn the Page.
You have not heard either of these? You know the song.
Metallica's version on Garage Inc. Come on now, dude.
Okay, hold on now.
Oh, you're not going to sit here and listen to both versions.
You dang right I am.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, then while he's listening.
Oh, I'm going to give that one to Metallica. Yes. Now that I heard the song clip.
Okay. I concur. I do believe the Metallica version was just, it was a little bit more gritty. I kind of like the way it sounded.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'm clearly going to agree because I'm a huge Metallica
fan.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. We knew
yes,
that.
Yes, sir. All right.
So, I'm skipping one in the list because I have to get a band name while you guys talk. But the next one we have, Behind Blue Eyes, which is going to be The Who versus Limp Bizkit.
The Who.
You know what?
By far.
You're going to kill. Oh, man. I really, really, really enjoyed the remake by Limp Bizkit. They're both great, but I don't know what it was that I enjoyed so much about it. Maybe it was just because it gave it a little bit more modern sound.
Is that the same one that he also, didn't he do a separate one with, what's that other artist? Aaron
Neville?
No, from Stain.
Yeah, Aaron Neville.
Well, no, do it, Adam. Come on, I'm setting you up.
From Stain.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man.
Perfect.
To be the sad man. Behind blue eyes.
I love it, man. I love it.
No, I you're talking about Aaron. I can't think of his last name from Stained, the singer.
Yeah,
Stained.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wasn't that
Stained
too.
Aaron Lewis.
Lewis, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a country singer now.
Yep. He's got it. He had a pretty cool voice, but.
But we're going to go split on this one because I really do like Limp Bizkit's version.
You know, I like.
It's all about the he said, she said. Yeah.
I like them both, but the Limp Bizkit version, the only thing I don't like is that middle section where in the original it picks up and like kicks in double time and does a little acoustic thing, or not acoustic, but instrumental thing. In the Limp Bizkit version, it does this weird like
kind of rapper
turntable sound, like sampled.
Yeah.
And that part was always kind of weird to me, but well, I don't know.
Maybe that's what I kind of like though. I mean, I remember that.
Could be. I'm on the fence on that one because I like parts of both of them. So
yeah, Limp Bizkit's wasn't bad, but the original Who, I always liked that one.
Okay. So next up, we've got Simple Man from Lynyrd Skynyrd or the remake, the acoustic remake from Shinedown.
That was so good too. I was going to definitely go with Lynyrd Skynyrd, but now I'm remembering how good Shinedown's version was.
Yeah, I think to Shinedown.
Yeah, I would go without hesitation to Shinedown.
Oh,
no pause. No, in my mind.
Oh wow.
He's not even hesitating.
Not even thinking
zero
about it.
Zero hesitation.
I respect Skynyrd for writing it, but zero hesitation. I love the Shinedown acoustic version way better.
Okay. Well, go with the next one because I have zero hesitation on this one.
All right. So we got Faith by George Michael. Or Limp Bizkit.
Oh, I know Jason's going George Michael all the way on this one. Limp Bizkit. I'm going Limp Bizkit on that one.
It was so much better.
I'm showing you that door. I've got to have that.
New metal.
Yeah, at the time.
I don't listen to any of that anymore.
No. At the time.
And then there was profanity in it and some rap. I loved it. You know, the record.
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that
scratching is what you're referring to.
No, record.
Yeah. All right,
it sounds like an old man trying to describe
scratching.
So
you guys are both going Bizkit on that one.
Yes.
Okay.
So, how about you, Dave? What did you think about that one?
In the time, probably would have went hands down Limp Bizkit. I don't know now. I'd have to re-listen. George Michael, I don't really like the song, period, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, it's not the best song, but who did it better? I'm going to have to say Limp Bizkit.
I don't know. I guess, yeah, maybe.
Tusk.
Yeah, no tusk. Now, all right, so next one, we've got Africa by Toto or the Weezer cover that just came out.
I'm going to have to go with Toto because it's 100%. So iconic.
Yep,
man. You hear that song, all you hear is Toto's version.
And it's, you know, I've heard a lot of
different... The dog is so cute!
I've heard a lot of versions of this song, including the most recent from Weezer, and none of them at all can bring that real atmospheric yet super, super tight groove to it.
Well, Toto they are a phenomenal set of musicians.
Right.
Those guys are like next level.
Is that Porcaro on drums? I forget.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, they're just something else.
Maybe I forget who it is, but yeah, they're good. So original on there. So the next one up, we've got The Sound of Silence, which is Simon and Garfunkel versus Disturbed.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. You know, I'd waver back and forth between these two because I really like the Disturbed version, but I would only want to listen to it a handful of times before I'd be like, you know, Simon and Garfunkel.
What do you say, Jason?
You know...
So I'm going to give it to Simon Garfunkel, I guess. That's me.
Okay.
And being an old dude, I do love, you know, the original version a lot too. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Simon Garfunkel, I think.
That doesn't take away from Disturbed as a really sing that well.
It's a lot like with Africa. It is so iconic. That is the version you always heard.
Yep.
See, I'm going to go ahead.
We didn't do Smooth Criminal. I completely thought about that.
Ooh, well, that
which I would give to Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah, their version was insane.
I'd agree with that. Sound of Silence, I'm actually going to go Disturbed on that. The original is iconic and classic, but it always feels weird, the message of the song and that upbeat rhythm to it. And when Disturbed did it, they brought that darkness to it.
They brought the darkness.
It just, I don't know, there's something that really clicked with me on their version. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to it because my kids love the song, and I know that's probably weird, but it's one that we would listen to a lot as we were settling down and just kind of relaxing for the evening, and putting on some mellow music. But last one up, we've got Bad Company by, of course, Bad Company, or the remake by Five Finger Death Punch.
I'm going to give this one to Five Finger Death Punch, personally. I just liked how they were able to... It was just...
I like the more metal sound the Five Fingers version. I think all of us... I think all of us just like metal so much. If you make any song metal, it's like...
I'm not a big metal fan, though.
Oh, you're not?
No.
I've always been a pretty big metal person.
Like Colossus? You were
made of metal?
Yes. Metal.
I am made of metal. I am affected by magnets. Yep.
You know, I was thinking about getting metal legs once. It's a risky operation, but I think it'll be worth it.
Yay.
So my roommates will tell you all about it.
There's some good before and afters. Listeners, as we go through that list, what I should do if I think
Hold
of it.
Hold on a second, Dave. Okay, that's all we can do. Now we're sued.
Yeah, no. What I'm gonna do if I think about it, I'll try and put together a little Spotify list that I'll link up in the show notes of these songs with the original and the remake, and you guys can give a listen, see what you think. What do you like better?
Make sure that you wait until our episode is on Spotify. So the first track of that list is the Digital Soup Podcast.
I don't know if you can add a podcast
to
a playlist with music.
Not should. With that attitude, you can't.
Quitter!
Awesome. Well, it might be about that time to put the lid on the soup. But before we go... So this week's track is called Back in Town by a band called Dancing on Fire, who we've had on one other time. Dancing on Fire is a three-piece rock band from the National Capital Region of Canada, formed by Wayne Bouchard and Richard Boivin in 2008. Hopefully I didn't butcher their names. And shortly after, they were joined by Rick DeVoice.
And that's a stage name. Speaking of Rick, that is not his real last name. Yeah,
I was just like, they call him DeVoice.
Yes.
Their most recent single, Equilibrium, was released on June 29th, and the band is currently working on further new material for a third album to be released in 2019. So definitely check that out. We're going to have a link to their Facebook page in our show notes. So stick around and check out that track by Dancing on Fire. Now, for all things Digital Soup, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell a friend about us. Say hi to us. Like, subscribe, and anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to us. So from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, all you listeners out there, have an awesome week. Stay safe. And, we'll see you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Charles Lee Ray.
Running through your head, should we stay to help? Should we go back instead? Is clouding all the misery. Everybody's falling to their knees. This is such a pretty sight. The angels and the devils in my mind. Should I let the city take my life?
Get some water, 'cause the fire's back in town.